Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Start with the Houston Astros. Best team in town. Maybe the best array of talent that we've seen in this town. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner. The schedule is out. The boys will be on the field in 17 days. All the position players in attendance today except Yordan Alvarez. We are going to see the Astros in 17 days, Clint Sterner. I don't even know how I'm standing up right now. I'm so excited.
Yeah, look, I'm anxiously waiting this thing to pop, and I'll be damned if yesterday they didn't cancel the workouts. Obviously, they're back on the field today. Lock dogs, let's start there. I mean, how in the hell does Major League Baseball publicly negotiate their way back onto the field, although it was uglier than hell, and they ended up having to force them back on the field? But how do you do that? How do you go through all – how do you jump through all those hoops to make a season happen? It's 60 games, and then somehow the first week that teams are back, not traveling, not playing games, but back in spring training, working together, they don't get delayed because of tests that are positive or things that are out of human control. They cancel a practice because they can't get the test back in a timely fashion. How does that happen?
I have no idea. I mean, how the hell do you negotiate something in late March and assume that there's going to be fans in the stands?
That's old Bayshot.
Little Shot Rob, his show calls him. Like, I just don't get it. Like, the basic logistics should be the easiest thing right now.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of hurdles you're going to have to overcome. We've never seen this. There's going to be a lot of stuff you're going to have to figure out.
Yes.
But if you can't figure out getting tests to people on time, that's a problem.
That's it. If you can't be proactive in going, what is it, 60 guys? Is there even 60, including coaches?
60-man
roster. So including coaches, let's say there's 70, 75. Like, we're going to have this many guys in Houston at two different locations. We need these tests available, and we need whatever lab is necessary to get the results back in a timely fashion. If you can't do that, I don't know that you're ready to start. How that mistake was made immediately out of the gate, I don't know. But onto the schedule, Lock Dog. I think two things stuck out to me. They start the season with a six consecutive games out of the gate, six consecutive games, which game five and game six is versus the Dodgers. How in the hell are the Astros going to, I guess, be ready for game five and six in knowing that the Dodgers are the one team on this planet that after all that chirping they were doing out there after the investigation, this Dodgers are the one team on this planet that I would think the Astros have that game, those two games, starred on the schedule right now. Man, game number five and six in six consecutive days, that rotation is going to be in trouble with that kind of lineup, ain't they?
They're ready to go. I think they're creatures of habit. They're ready to go.
How do you handle six straight games though, Show?
Every 5 days Show. They're going to start.
Lock Dog, whatever the hell your name is.
We both look alike.
Tall white guy. You look a lot like him.
Every 5 days, pitchers will be ready to go. They'll be creatures of habit. I think this is going to be a sprint. It's going to be a sprint. I heard you talk about the other day. It's an advantage for everybody else, and it's not necessarily a disadvantage for the Astros because everybody else gets a 102-game head start now where you basically played toe-to-toe with the Houston Astros. And now you have 60 games to play with the Astros. I think they're going to be all right. Baseball players play a lot of games anyway, so I don't know that they'll be too tired. I think they'll be ready to go. I am intrigued to see how Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, if he's good to go, how many innings we see these guys throwing early on.
So you had, I mean, gosh dang it, come on, man. Lock Dog, you had you grew up in Dallas. Texas Rangers right in your backyard.
I did.
Am I reading this right where the Astros wrapped the season up versus the Rangers in Dallas? I believe it's the last two games of the season.
In Arlington, yes.
In Arlington.
At the new yard. The baby juice box. So, yeah, you're going to get that. I mean, they only play eight games outside of Texas and California.
How big?
So they're going to have that heat.
How big, Lock Dog, is that game? Could that game be if it means something?
Well, the Rangers got to step it up a little bit. They got to get their weight up a little bit. I know they just had Joey Gallo test positive for it. So, you know, we assume that Yordan Alvarez may have it. It's going to be interesting. I'll say this. It would be nice for both of those teams to be good at the same time. Because you've had the Strohs, one of the best teams in baseball in recent years. The Rangers had their run in 2010, 2011. And then when the Astros sucked, Rangers were good. When the Rangers were and vice versa. So it'd be nice to get a little rivalry going there.
I hope it means something. I hope the Astros go up there and tear that ass up to you know, obviously they'll be in the playoffs, but to better their positioning.
Be nice.
Big 3-3, number 2.
NFLPA, no surprise here. We've seen the preseason trim down to from 4 to 2, and now the NFLPA has voted unanimously to cancel the preseason altogether.
They want the preseason games canceled, and they want what they're referring to as an acclimation period, which is 48 days. That's what they ultimately, that's what they want. That's what they feel like they need. When it's all said and done, the NFL and NFLPA, they had formed a joint committee of doctors, trainers, strength coaches, things of that nature to develop protocols designed to bring players back and put them in the best position to not get injured. And Locke, we've talked about this multiple times off the air of, man, it takes a while for them to get their bodies in game shape, the ability to flip their hips, their ability to change direction, their ability to put that kind of torque on their ankles and knees and hips and backs and things of that nature. It takes a long time to get their bodies in that shape. Well, this committee of doctors, trainers, and strength coaches put that at that acclimation period at 48 days, and the NFLPA is they're sticking to their guns. The NFL doesn't necessarily want to give them the 48-day period. They want to keep the two preseason games. I just hope like hell we're not headed towards something like what we just saw Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association go through, where things are negotiated or things are hashed out so publicly. I just hope that's not where the NFL is headed, but it looks like there's going to be some kind of stalemate for at least the time being.
I think the NFL during all this has actually handled themselves pretty good. I mean, they got the draft off. The offseason went on according to plan. At some point, these billionaires, you just got to take it on the chin every once in a while. If the players don't want preseason this year, you're not going to have fans anyways. So what exactly are you gaining from not having it? So it would be nice if the owners could show some sort of like common sense and just let the players have what they want. I just wonder though, Clint, how this impacts certain players, because I think there's some players on the Texans, and I think most importantly, I think a first-year offensive coordinator like Tim Kelly, or a first-year defensive coordinator like Anthony Weaver calling a game in the preseason, to me, that seems like something that could be a valuable experience. Oh, yeah. So yeah. I just wonder how this would impact certain teams, specifically the Texans and some of the guys on their roster.
Like I think it could actually enhance the opportunity to get that done, right? Because now Bill O'Brien has to find a way. If they end up canceling all the preseason games, he has to find a way to simulate a game, right? And when you have to actually put it together, create it, execute it, then you're more apt to. Obviously, he will evaluate Tim Kelly's job. But take that one step further. He will evaluate the bottom half or the bottom quarter of his roster more. I think more in depth than you do with a typical preseason game. Because you know you've been to them, man. Once your starters come out, the backup coach or the coaches, the assistant coaches take over. The head coach is over there talking shop with different people, different scouts, different starters. And I think when they have, when those coaches, when Bill O'Brien has it specifically created, I think it's actually going to enhance the evaluation process of Tim Kelly all the way down to the rookies.
So the practices get a little bit more intensified, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And he's got to make sure that he does it the right way. He can't rely on the NFL to have a game on Sunday, a preseason game on Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday to get that done. He's got to put those things in place to make sure that the evaluations are done correctly.
And hopefully this just happens and we don't have to get a play-by-play like we did with MLB.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Mike D'Antoni met with the media today. Rockets about to start practice. They're going to head to the bubble. They'll be in Orlando on Saturday. They'll be on the court in less than a month. You heard Brian Scalabrine say he likes the Rockets' chances. It's going to be an unpredictable format. We know Dwight Howard will be with the Lakers. There was some fingers crossed here that that would not be the case. Rockets, their wild-ass style in this wild-ass format could be a perfect combination, or it could be like fire and whatever, gasoline. Who knows? Yeah, I have no idea. This is unpredictable, man.
Yeah, which is a reason to love it. And I think Mike D'Antoni actually spoke to that. He spoke to the fact that he felt like that they were a good team with Clint Capela. They were doing a lot of really good things with Capela, but they needed to make the change. And then that short little flash in the pan of 15, 16 games that we saw before the coronavirus hit, he felt like they were a better team. They were a great team at that point, at least schematically and with their skills. They had some things to figure out, but he feels really good about where the organization is right now. Got to get to Orlando healthy. Got to make sure all the 8, 9, 10-man rotation is in shape, obviously. And they got to clean up any scheme issues. Those are the things that he mentioned and left no doubt that he will be wearing a mask.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, he's going to be rocking the mask and coaching. We'll see how nice those masks look, because it's going to be hard to take the title as the best masked up coach. Dusty Baker's got him 100 masks, and he's staying very, very fresh. No toothpick under the mask yet. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show, Hughley, Clint Sterner holding it down. If there is no preseason, who gets impacted specifically on the Texans roster? We'll cuss and discuss next. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show, Hughley, with Clint Sterner here on Sports Radio 610. Brandon Bakke going to join us at 3:35, talk about the Astros, who are back at it today. They'll be playing real games in 17 days right here in H-Town. Empty stands, but the Stros will be on the field. We'll talk to Brandon Bakke, the former Astros pitcher, about that. The NFLPA does not want to play preseason games. They voted unanimously not to play preseason games. It's already been trimmed from 4-2. The owners, I guess, want preseason games. I'm not sure how firm they are on this, but it does look like it's going to be at least discussed if they're just going to cancel the preseason altogether. What is the impact? Who does that impact the most, Clint, specifically from the Houston Texans, if preseason games are canceled? For me, there's a few things. I'll just throw these at you, and you just tell me what you think. I think the tight end competition, really the only competition that there is on offense, I think this is where it could be impacted, because you still haven't seen Kahale wearing in any single game day environment as a Houston Texan. And, of course, you have Jordan Thomas competing with Kahale for the third spot on the depth chart. How important do you think it would be for Bill O'Brien to get to see Kahale wearing in some sort of game day atmosphere? Is that important?
Oh, yeah. Look, there's no doubt about it that it's important that he is in some kind of live action when he doesn't know what's coming, when the coaches don't know what's coming, and it's truly all reactionary. Whether I'm talking about picking up a blitz, or I'm talking about being the outlet for the quarterback on a blitz, or it's in the run game and he's having to – the defensive front shifts right before the ball snapped, and he has in real time has to go from blocking down on a 7 technique to maybe just going straight up to the second level and picking up a middle linebacker, an outside linebacker. Those things that you just can't – or let's say you can simulate them at practice if there's a conscious effort to do so, but most times the conscious effort is to keep everybody safe and healthy and upright and not tackling. And so there's no doubt, Lock Dog, that there is a downside to no preseason games for certain guys. And Kahale Waring is at the top of that list in terms of how bad this team needs him, and in terms of how bad he needs a good preseason, and he needs live action to really showcase what it is he brings to the table. So, yeah, Kahale Waring's at the top of that list.
And you got Jordan Thomas, of course, 4 touchdowns 2 years ago. Down year last year, he's going to be trying to reestablish himself as a red zone target for Deshaun Watson. What about the return game? Because there's a lot of possibilities in regards to the return game here. DeAndre Carter was obviously the guy last year. Kiki QT might get a chance to win that fifth wide receiver spot returning the rock. You also have John Reed out of Penn State who could, I mean, he returned punts in college. He could be in the mix as well. Is it easier to evaluate in game situations as far as the return game than it is in practice? Because part of me says, or it seems like it might be. Am I off in that, or is that something?
No, there's nothing like a real game when you get out there when it's just you on that island. And hell, I mean, I've been out there just trying to catch the ball, much less return it. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing like that aspect of the preseason game. But I'll go back to what I said last segment. I just think that Bill O'Brien has to make a conscious – if they do cancel the two preseason games that are remaining as of right now, then Bill O'Brien has to make that conscious effort and has to make the decision of, hey, we're fixing to go live. You're going to have to fair catch it, or you're going to have to show us that you've got the guts to catch it in traffic and go make a play. Whether it's the young fella, or it's Kiki QT, or it's Carter. Doesn't Isaiah Coulter, the young receiver, doesn't he have some return potential as
well?
A little bit. So you got a couple of young guys that are out there that, yeah, you would love to have real games with fans in the stands, with the noise, with all the distractions, with the one opportunity, not hey, we'll punt it to you again. You get the coach, will rip your ass a little bit, and then we'll punt it to you again. Not that aspect of it. No, that's not the point. You get out there, and if you drop this one, it's a turnover, and you cost your team the game, yeah, you're going to have a hard time duplicating that. But you can put the pressure on those return guys in terms of just you got guys running, screaming down the field, and it's all out go. It's live. It's all go. No knockout punches. We don't want to hit him when his chin's exposed. But once he catches the ball, you can tackle him to the ground. So that's up to Bill O'Brien and his staff to duplicate those types of scenarios in practice.
You also have Tyler Simmons out of Georgia, the undrafted free agent, trying to return some kicks as well. What about defensively? I mean, because this is the number one question. This is the question of the offseason for me. What the hell is an Eric Murray? I have no idea. Yeah. I have no clue. How important is it to be able for Anthony Weaver, first year on the job, first year defensive coordinator, to whether he's going to be in the booth? I'm assuming he's going to be on the sidelines, to be able to call a defense, to be able to see the field, to be able to see how Eric Murray lines up and what goes on there. From a coordinator perspective, how much would no preseason impact a first year coordinator, specifically on defense?
Well, I mean, it's definitely not ideal, right? I mean, you got two new coordinators. Ultimately, we can call Tim Kelly. The first time play call, this is the first year he's going to have the offensive coordinator duties top to bottom. So you've essentially got two new coordinators, and it looks like there is a chance that their first action in real action is going to be a game that absolutely means something. That's
against
scary.
The Chiefs, by the
way. And then followed up by the way, if you didn't like that, Baltimore's next coming down the pipe. So yeah, it's going to be. I mean, it's going to be baptism by fire. There's no doubt about it. But, man, I don't – show – golly. Locke, show, whatever the hell your name is. I honestly believe that as we – the more we discuss it, that the Bill O'Briens of the world, they're going to absolutely love the opportunity to figure all of these things out in-house without other people being able to see what Tim Kelly's doing or what Anthony Weaver's doing. They're going to absolutely just relish in the opportunity to not put it on camera and not let it get out to Kansas City what they're going to do. I mean, because you can be as basic as you want to. If you watch preseason game film, you're going to be able to tell Anthony Weaver's he's a little different than Rack in these few categories. You're going to be able to see that. You can't hide it. I would be willing to bet you Bill O'Brien would rather have no preseason games than have the ones. Have two or four.
So there'll be specific players impacted. There'll be position battles impacted. Coaches will be impacted. But you say Bill O'Brien might actually prefer that as a guy who is very, very fond of practice time. And the more intense the practice, the more excited the Texans head coach is. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley with Clint Sterner. I also wonder, you know, if last year this would have been proposed and the NFLPA had said we don't want any preseason games, there'd be no chance in hell that the owners would say okay, because obviously you'd still have people say what you want about preseason football. People are still tailgating. People are still showing up. People are still buying beer. They're buying hot dogs. You're selling tickets. But if we are under the assumption, and I think it's an appropriate assumption, especially with when preseason games would happen, that it's going to be an empty stadium, I wonder how much the owners really want to stick their chest out in this proposal by the NFLPA. I don't know if this is really going to be that much of a battle because it is an empty stadium. I'm sure there's some TV stuff, but I could see the owners just saying, okay, this is a unique circumstance. Yeah. This isn't going to be a habit. But for the time being, maybe no preseason, and they'd be willing to let the NFL Players Association have that one.
Yeah, we've been having this conversation since before they canceled the Hall of Fame preseason game between the Cowboys and the Steelers. I mean, I think this is the year, right? I mean, this is the year to experiment with fewer preseason games, which you're obviously going to do, or possibly no preseason games. One of the big hangups with the NFL Players Association and the NFL right now is this 48-day acclimation period. I mean, is that something?
Still don't know what the hell that means.
Well, here's the deal. In 2011, when there was the lockout,
yeah.
Okay, there's studies out there that show when the players had a longer period of time off, they came back. Achilles injuries went up over 50%. Hamstring injuries went up 44% or something like that.
Don't use that word around here. Don't use the H word in Houston.
Well, you get my point, right? Hey. So there's obviously some proof there that these doctors, trainers, and strength coaches have gone back and evaluated. Like, you can't just throw these guys back into action without some kind of period of time to build up to that kind of physical activity. And so that's another hang-up of obviously the owners are going to have additional expenses with players being on in the facility for 48 days. You tack on top of that, there's no preseason games. There's obviously some monies being lost there, but I'm with you. This is a year when you're going to take a loss in the preseason anyway, for damn sure. I don't know if this isn't the perfect year to experiment. The Major League Baseball is doing it with regular season
extra innings
games. They're doing it with the universal DH. They're doing it. I think they're doing it with some of the expanded roster stuff. I mean, this is the year. It's like for NFL. This is the year to expand your roster, because if Bill O'Brien's going to have simulated games in training camp because there's no preseason games, then give him guys that he can run down the field just wild as all get out on special teams to make sure he's got the right returner in there. Can he put an entire unit out there that if a guy gets hurt, it's just a reserve player, it's not one of his starters? I mean, this is the year to do all of those exotic types of things with your rosters, with your preseason games, with your all the different.
Check it out.
I mean, check it out. And at the end of the day, after this COVID-19 season, be better than you were before. That's where I'm at. We're going to know in Major League Baseball if the DH should be universal.
Yeah, we'll see. And let's be honest, if you don't agree, don't give me the damn play-by-play we got from baseball. We don't need the NFL looking stupid, too.
Good point.
Gosh.
Great point.
Landry Locker in for Ron the Show. Hughley along with Clint Sterner here on Sports Radio 610. 17 days. My goodness. 2 weeks and change. Houston Astros going to be back on the field playing baseball. We're going to talk to former Astros pitcher Brandon Bakke about what stood out with the schedule, the rotation, positional players, all of that. Talking baseball with Bakke next. Astros return to the diamond in 17 days. Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley along with Clint Sterner. Let's talk to a former Astros pitcher Brandon Bakke about the Astros and the return to the field. Brandon, appreciate you for joining us. It's a crazy ass layout that we got right now in baseball. What do you think about just the overall approach for the Astros with this 60 game season and everything that comes with it compared to what they're normally used to?
Well, that's a difficult question. I mean, this is something that's just out of the norm. You don't know anything about, how it's going to go. Hopefully the pitchers – I was on last time, I was discussing about the pitchers and how many innings they'll be able to take in the first couple of starts or so. And, it's up to them and how much they've been doing the last month the last month and throwing off the mound and how hard they've been going at it. But if we can get all of our guys to show up and be able to practice together and they're doing their job, I think our rotation is going to be beneficial to the short season. At max, they're going to get 16 starts throughout the 60-day or 60-game season, and then you've got the playoffs, which they'll be in mid-season form. So I think defensively we're going to be just fine. On the flip side of that, offensively, typically coming out of spring training, the offense isn't looking so well, right? You got to have the timing of the pitches and being able to see the multiple pitches coming at you, recognition of the pitches. So if they can come out the box hitting like they normally can, then we're going to be just fine. But it just depends on if the offense is struggling or not up front.
There's a lot to unpack right there, Backy. Well, talk to me about the pitching aspect of it, man. I mean, this is the travel, regardless of where they're playing. With playing so many back-to-back games and cramming so many games into a short period of time, travel will be different. From a pitcher's perspective, how does that affect you guys? Because I know sometimes you travel, sometimes you don't. How do you see that working out for the Astros, knowing that the rotation, a five-man rotation, is going to be even more important than it typically is?
Yeah, it depends on the individual himself, the player himself, and how well he can just manage the hours of flight and going to bed or whatever, making it to the other city before the other team. A lot of times in a four-game series, after the third game, they'll fly out that starter of the number one game back home or in a different city just so he can get there and relax and not have to fly the day before. So you might see that more often. But then you're susceptible to catching the virus flying in a different plane. So there's a whole lot of elements that are going to take place in that. And I don't know what they're going to do. It's just, like I said, it's all individual on the player and how he feels and what he wants and what the team's going to allow them to do.
Well, that we know is that Dusty's out here trying to put a rotation together, and my man Zach Greinke, he's making his own hours. Yeah. He's out there making his own hours, beating to his own drum. What do you make of the whole Zach Greinke situation with him being a veteran and doing things essentially on his own schedule?
Well, I mean, listen, Roger Clemens, when we played with him, he was basically on his own schedule. He would have his own flights, and he would show up basically whenever he wanted. That was in his contract, and it didn't affect any other players and making them think that he was better than us or more special. I totally understood it. Gosh, the guy was 40-something years old at the time. So, it must be something to do with him and how he visions this coronavirus and not wanting to be around so many people. As far as I'm understanding, he's still showing up out there doing some work. It's just on his own. I think that has more to do with it than he's thinking about not playing this year. At least I hope so.
Talking to Brandon Backe 17 days before the Astros return to the field against the Seattle Mariners out there at the Juice Box. You mentioned the hitters having a disadvantage early on. Do you still think that's going to be the case just because of how the season is laid out and that Dusty Baker's talked about, four inning starts and all that type of stuff just to start the season off? Do you think that's still going to be the case where the pitching has the advantage, or do you think it could be the opposite? Because Dusty's actually said that the hitters look really good for the Stros. And obviously the Stros are a different animal, but do you think it's still going to be the case with this format where it's kind of like a sprint instead of a marathon?
Well, what I said earlier was just typically coming out of spring training, the hitters are coming into spring training. When we face our own hitters during live batting practice, I typically didn't pitch inside to those guys. I didn't want to hit them, but you could see the Bagwells, the Biggios, the big name guys really maybe not struggling, but more so just trying to get their timing down. So it just depends on how much live pitching they're seeing right now to get themselves ready and adjusted to the pitches that they're going to have to face. It's not very hard to get a pitcher to up to speed right out the box, throwing 95 plus miles an hour and having good control of his slider and his curveball. What's the most difficult thing to do, and what I believe in all sports, is hit a round ball with a round bat squarely. So the timing of that, of seeing these pitches, is I foresee being the biggest obstacle that the Astros are going to have to face, at least for the first 2 weeks of the season.
You talked about the first 2 weeks of the season, Brandon. The schedule dropped, and we know that they're got the Mariners for a four-game run out of the gate, and then their fifth and sixth game is versus the Dodgers, man. And you've heard the things. We've had you on and played them for you, so I know you've heard a lot of the things that the Yankees said, a lot of the things that the Dodgers have said. Is it safe to say that besides the fact that there's been a lot of distractions with the COVID-19, the season being pushed back and all that stuff, is it safe to say that yesterday at 5 p.m. Central Time, when the schedule did pop, that the Astros, the roster top to bottom, starred the Dodgers game, in that first week of the season, they starred that game on the schedule, and it just means more?
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime you play those guys, it's going to mean more, especially with the history here recently. But, it's a very difficult thing to come up with the schedule. I'm sure the group of individuals that came up with that schedule had all kind of scenarios they had to come up with and just to figure out how to make it as competitive as possible and even as possible. Whether it's a coincidence or not, I don't know, but any game against the Yankees or LA right now, just from our last couple of years, is going to be a big time game. And who knows what's going to happen on the field. There's not going to be any fans there to maybe poke at the bear, so to speak, but there's going to be some competitive nature between the players, I'm sure.
Talking Astros with Brandon Bakke here. By the way, Dusty Baker just said that Greinke and Verlander both threw bullpens today. So Greinke's on his own time, but he's actually doing his thing. You just mentioned poking the bear, and obviously the different guys handle different situations, obviously differently. I think I said different about 16 times there, but you get what I'm trying to say. Some people, there's a point and there's a counterpoint to the Astros playing in ballparks without fans. I was talking about this with Wade Smith earlier today, Brandon. On one hand, you say, well, the Astros aren't going to get heckled. They're not going to have to put up with as much crap. But on the other end, Wade Smith said he actually looks at that as almost a negative, because guys that are built are, as Clint would say, cut from the cloth that the Astros players are cut from. A lot of them get off on that type of thing, and they get off in that atmosphere. How would you personally feel about going from 100-plus days ago where you feel like you're going to go into all these hostile ballparks, and then now in a situation where it's empty, given everything the Astros have gone through?
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to talk about that. Is, I would have never cheated in my career if it was ever brought upon, and if I would have found out that my guys were doing it, there would have been some words, hopefully, to where I could have stopped it. But, so I wouldn't have had an issue with either way, just because I know I wouldn't have been one of the players that were involved directly, at least. But on the other hand, there are guys who just seem to up the ante, so to speak, in their ability on the field when there is a crowd there seemingly against them. And it's almost like, the chip on the shoulder gets bigger, and you just really want to show them and prove to them that, rub it back in their face, so to speak. So our guys are good no matter what. The athleticism that we have and offensively, the ability to hit the ball for power and for average, it's really not going to affect these guys. They're going to go out there. I'm sure they're chomping at the bit just to be on the field and compete and play for something that means something, instead of practicing and here and being in this lull that that we've been in, just trying to get the season started.
Do you think they should still give out awards like MVP, Cy Young? I've heard some old baseball media types kind of, you know how old baseball media types are. I mean, good Lord. But some of them are saying that you shouldn't, because I saw a study where 20% of the MVPs, 80% wouldn't have been the same had they voted 60 days after. Well, hell, Wade Miley might have gotten Cy Young votes last year, 60 games in. Yeah. Do you think they should still give out the awards and just have the understanding that, you know, it was a different season, it was different times?
I think this whole season has an asterisk on it of basically just the knowing that it's a complete different season. I mean, you could say that about – anybody that wins the World Series this year, it's like, oh, yeah, they won the World Series, but it was only 60 games long. And, you know, what's going to be interesting to me is – so to answer your question, yes, I think they should give out the awards. I mean, everybody's playing in the same rules. Right. It doesn't matter. It's 60 games, or 162 games. It doesn't really matter. It is what it is. So it'll just be an understanding that this was a completely different season than any other season that we'll ever have, probably. But it shouldn't take away the effort of the player or players who deserve the awards in this 60-game season. They should be recommended for their efforts on the field, no matter what the duration of the season is.
Former Houston Astros pitcher Brandon Backe joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston sports leader. Backe, we heard from some players Friday. It was actually Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa. Who was the other one? Lockdog. I know Baker talked, and then there was one other.
Bregman, Correa, Altuve talked.
Altuve.
Reddick.
Reddick, that's who I'm thinking of. But nonetheless, I listened to all of them all the way through, and I'm telling you, man, there's one thing that stood out from Carlos Correa. I want you to listen to this audio right here and just how he sounds like, to me, he's taking the next step from a leadership standpoint.
How do you think the viability of this season is with everything in place?
I'm encouraged because of the group of guys that we have here. We are all on the same page. We know what it takes to make this season possible. And, you know, pretty much what we're doing is we come to work out and we go back to our houses. And I think that's the key, you know, not going out to restaurants and getting exposed. I think if we can keep it simple and with the group of guys we have here, we're committed. We're trying to be professionals and be responsible, and it's going to be a good season for us.
Backe, he went on and on multiple times in that particular fashion, which I thought it was genuine, sincere. I thought it was specific. I thought it was a quick response. It was a lot of times it involved essentially him speaking for and purposely speaking for the entire team. To me, all the audio that I listened to this weekend, this is before I thoroughly enjoyed my July 4th weekend, by the way, I listened to all of that audio and it just jumped out of the radio to me, man, that Carlos Correa seems like, as I hear him, he is taking the next step in terms of being a leader of the Astros and a guy in the clubhouse that they can depend on, not just a young, talented player, but a true leader. Do you hear that? Do you think that's big of Carlos to do? Is it necessary for somebody else to step up for the Astros? What do you hear when you listen to that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Clint. I mean, it does sound like he's maturing as an individual and as a man, not just as a baseball player. And, you know, but I firmly believe that each team in sports not only should, but does have multiple leaders, and each leader has his or her own role. And a lot of times you have a media guy leader who can speak well for not just himself, but for everybody on the team and represent the team well. So, maybe that's just what he's bred into. He's unconsciously just taken over that part of the team. But he's certainly showing his maturity as a teammate, as a player in the major leagues, and as a man. So, you know, he's doing a very good job of answering questions straight and giving himself to the media like he should.
Brandon, we are 251 days removed from the last time we saw the Astros play a game, Game 7 of the World Series. We're over 100 days removed from when opening day was supposed to happen. What about all these Jamokes crying because there are late start times? 23, 8, 10 start times. We've gone without sports this long, and we got people complaining because they got to stay up and watch some baseball an extra hour. You can't please everyone these days, can you?
Yeah, the first thing I was ever told, man, is you can never please everybody. There's so many different personalities out there in the world and around this city, of course, and everybody's going to have an opinion, man. It's just, some people see the glass half full, some people see the glass half empty. So it's to each their own, and if they're going to complain about it and then end up watching it, then that's really all that matters. So I don't think a couple of days or a week is going to really change their mind of ultimately watching the game. So all they're doing is just bitching and moaning, and you got to have bitchers and moaners out there just so that, you know, everybody knows what not to do, basically. So,
well, I'm pretty sure you're going, your kiddos, you'll let them push that old bedtime time back just a little bit to watch the Astros, huh?
Oh yeah, they'll just be sleep with me in my recliner, man. It doesn't matter. I ain't going nowhere. I'm gonna sit right there and watch it, baby. You know that.
There we go, Brandon. We appreciate you, man. Hopefully, talk to you next time. We'll be even a step closer to seeing the Astros get back on the field and take advantage of that World Series window.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you guys a lot, and can't wait for the next time.
There you go. Brandon Bakke, former Astros pitcher, 17 days away from the start of the season. I don't like being a people say type thing, but when I saw the complaining about an hour later on the start time, Clint, that's like getting free food and complaining because you don't have like a certain amount of sauce with it.
I agree, man. It's just it's crazy to think that in these kind of times when we're not getting any kind of sports whatsoever. I guess we're getting a little bit now. We're up here watching this TBT, which, by the way, I don't know how they're making this happen without masks or anything like that. We got a little NASCAR. We get a little golf last weekend. So it's getting back to normal, but damn, man, we ain't had baseball in so long. I don't care if it starts at midnight, baby. I'm in.
Boy, you're scraping at the bottom when you start trying to sell me on NASCAR and golf, but hopefully I don't get that desperate. I can settle for this TV.
Come on, man. Golf ain't all bad, baby. And I'm starting to like NASCAR a little bit more.
My rule on golf is no Tiger, no me. That's my number one rule of golf. No Tiger, no me. That's it. Clint Sterner.
I am disgusted.
Landry Locker in for Ron the Show, Hugh Lee. Let's get a little pigskin going. Mike Florio going to join the show at 4:35, but you know what's coming up. It is Clint Sterner football at 4 next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.